This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
That's right. It is Fender Bender. My name is Tim Nicholson. We are here to talk about cars and a bunch of other things because that's what we like to do. And I'm here to do that with the wonderful Mike Costello. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, mate.
What's happening? You're looking a little familiar. You're looking a little bit like me.
It's kind of weird. We rocked up today completely separately and we're wearing... it appears that we've got a Fender Bender uniform going on nowadays.
As somebody pointed out at Joy, that it looks very Brunswick.
It does, but I live south side, so how does that work?
I know. Well, maybe it's Richmond then, if we meet in the middle somewhere?
That is kind of neutral ground, isn't
that
it?
That is.
See, I'm not from Melbourne, so I'm not really familiar with this whole divide between the north and south, but I hear there is one.
There is a big one.
I'm showing my ignorance.
Right now. There is a big one. Now, you are listening to Fender Bender. We have got a very large show coming up today.
Don't overstate it. You're going to put pressure on us.
That's
you know?
True, exactly. It could be quite small. A big shout out to Brian and Jeremy, who can't be with us today, but you know what? We will cope without you boys, won't we?
We don't need them.
We don't.
They're overrated.
Exactly.
They're baggage. They're useless.
It's true. Jeremy will just yell and get shirty about something anyway. So.
Exactly.
Now, we've got a bit to look at. We're going to talk about the Germans.
Always exciting.
Nine. Exactly. Well, just talking about the rise and rise of Audi and looking at BMW and Merck and where they are and all that kind of thing.
The race of the premium manufacturers, basically.
Totally, which is a bit exciting, actually, if you ask me, but that's because I'm sad. There'll be lots of news. We might even have a game, Mike.
We're going to have a game?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
That's right. It's a game called What...
Even I don't know about this. I'm excited now.
No.
Anticipation.
I've just realised I've forgotten to print my little thing for it, but that's fine. I will get it. It is called What Car Am I? And we're going to ask you, dear listener,
a bright pink 1967 Beetle Cabrio, I'd say, if I had to make a guess.
That's about right with me. We will be asking... I will be giving away a bunch of hints, and you, dear listener, will text in and tell us what you think the car that I'm talking about is. Obviously, I'll be giving hints, but not too many large hints. That's coming up very shortly. Now, if you want to stay in touch, please head to facebook.com/FenderBenderJoy and like us, or follow us at twitter.com/FenderBenderJoy. That's us, you know what I mean? So let's get this shiz started, yo. Oh, there we go. A bit of... what I thought was M83, but I keep hearing on through other places that it's M83.
Really?
So I've been calling it M83 this whole time, and it's M83.
Is M83 a band or a person?
Well, he's kind of a dude, isn't he?
So he's one guy?
I think so.
Okay.
But that was Reunion, which I think is their latest track, which is really, really good. And before that, we actually heard a new track from Lady Hawk, which is a...
lovely lady from New Zealand.
She is.
I saw her at the Meredith Festival.
Oh, was she good?
Recently.
Yeah. She, we've kind of adopted her here, really.
Well, it's what happens with New Zealanders, isn't it?
Pretty much. I mean, let's be honest, guys. We're allowed to do that. We pick the good ones.
Well, they're like our little brother, so we can steal things off them.
That's true. Why not? Now, Mike, there's a bloody, a motor show happening at the moment.
Is there?
I believe. Yes. Or is it this week?
It is. It's in Beijing.
Beijing.
And, you know, the thing about it is, you know, you might think Chinese motor show, what does it matter? I don't know any Chinese cars. But actually, it's a massive deal because China is now the world's biggest car market.
Bigger than
anywhere else. And so all the big guns from around the world decide they want to reveal their exciting new metal in Beijing. And it's already started to roll out.
Mm.
You might remember last week I had a bit of a complaint to make about the trend towards super expensive, high-end, niche four-wheel drives.
Look, I recall.
I did single out the Porsche Cayenne. It might have been unfair. I should have talked about the Bentley one as well, but there's been one that's leaked overnight ahead of schedule, thanks to some sneaky, sneaky journalist putting it out there when he shouldn't have. The Lamborghini. Four-wheel drive. Yeah, we've had a feeling this was going to happen. We had some suspicions it was going to happen, but it's been confirmed. It's called the Urus. U-R-U-S. Urus. It doesn't exactly roll off
the tongue. What is it? U-R-U-S.
Yeah.
That is an
Urus.
Awful name.
Well, I've looked it up. Apparently, it's a kind of extinct ancestor to the cow. which is, you know, you want to
aren't
name your
all?
Car after a big fat cow, don't you? It evokes a kind of emotional response.
That's bizarre.
But, you know, it's pretty much a Lamborghini on stilts. It has that really wedgy kind of profile that all Lamborghinis have. I really am quite concerned for this. I thought Lamborghini might be the last frontier. You know, they'd be that one brand that would say, no, we're not going to make a four-wheel drive. Yep. We're not going to sell out. We're just going to keep doing what we're doing. Mm. But they sort of
have. Did they do a concept of this? Like, is this a big surprise?
It's not a surprise, really. We knew it was going to happen. It was only a matter of time. And, you know, in all honesty, it could have looked a whole lot worse. It looks a bit strange. But I'm sort of looking at it now. You know, it could be a whole lot worse.
We'll put it up. I'll put it up on the web.
It's better than the Bentley one that was released a couple of weeks ago. That's for sure.
Now, that was an absolute disaster.
Monstrosity.
That looked like, what is it? Face like a smacked ass. That thing is the ugliest
thing
I've seen.
Face full of smashed crabs.
Yeah, totally. From the back, the Bentley didn't look too horrendous, but that front,
just a bit too much going on there, wasn't it?
Oh my god, I don't know what to say. It's, if you get a chance, have a look at it. Bentley, I can't remember.
It had a name like a fax machine. It was like 762.9X. But go and have a look at the Lamborghini Urus, U-R-U-S, and let us know what you think, because I think it's, well,
how
kind
are they
going to
power
annoying.
This thing though? Is this going to be powered by something?
It's rumored to have, well, it's a Lamborghini, so it's, you know, it's rumored to have a V10.
Oh.
5.2 litre V10, maybe 500 kilowatts, something like that. I'd be very surprised if I had anything smaller than that. You know, I don't think Lamborghini's going to start making a four-cylinder car anytime soon.
No. And this will, become the volume seller, you think?
Probably.
Yeah.
This is the sad thing about it. These big SUVs do become the volume seller for whatever company sells them. And, you know, so this is this is kind of a sad development for me. I'm a little bit sad.
What about Ferrari?
Well, they haven't got a four-wheel drive. They've got the FF, which is this kind of four-seat breadbox van-looking thing now.
That's
but
weird.
They don't have a proper SUV. And they're the last standout now.
They are now.
The pressure's on. They need to stay true to themselves, I think.
Aston Martin?
No, but they do have a mini car called the Signet.
Oh, that's amazing.
Which is
so
possibly even worse, because it's about $100,000 and it's the size of a smart car.
It literally is. It's based on, I think it's a Toyota IQ
or something like that.
And
they put some leather and stuff in it and a badge, basically.
I think, from memory, it's something to do with the laws, the emissions laws or something in Europe.
So your whole range has to have an average emission.
That's right.
They've got all these big, thirsty V10s and V12s. They have to counterbalance that with something smaller.
Oh my God. This
was their great idea.
It's amazing.
But anyway,
look, let us know what you think about the Lamborghini four-wheel drive. Is it a mistake? We pretty much think so. Now, there was some other news during the week locally, Mike.
Yeah, it's a continuation of another trend, and that's the continual loss of jobs in Victoria. Toyota announced a while back they were going to lay off 350 people, and they did it this week. What was really strange about it, getting rid of these people from their Altona plant, was that they did it in the same week they launched their brand new locally built Big Orion.
Yeah.
Kind of bad timing, guys, you know. They're trying to get goodwill with their brand new model, and the day before, they lay off 350 workers. A bit of a PR mistake there, I'd have to say.
I don't know if it was, though. I think they were thinking that it wouldn't be as big a story with the redundancies.
Because everyone would focus on the new car.
Maybe. Or that it's such a bad story, and then immediately look at this fantastic new car that we're building with less people building it because they don't have jobs anymore.
And this is the ominous thing, because we've seen this repeatedly. There's always these talks of the Aussie motoring industry going downhill and losing people and what's going to happen in the future, and this is this kind of a continuation. But on the good side, Holden took advantage of this and released some good news.
Fantastic.
They've been commissioned to do two design projects for, you guessed it, China.
Beautiful.
So, hey, maybe they'll pick up some of these 350 people. Who knows?
Look, one door closes, another one opens. That's what we like about the Australian motorfacturing industry. What is it called? Oh, my God.
I think you made a new word.
I think so. I went to the gym earlier, and I'm just exhausted. You are listening to Defender Bender. We're going to be returning very shortly to start the new game, which is What Car Am I? And we want to hear from you, so stick around.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Now, I mentioned earlier, we here at Fender Bender thought we'd change things up a little bit this time, and I have a game to play.
See, you haven't told me about this, so this is all a mystery to me. I don't know what you're conjuring in that head of yours, but I'm very excited to hear
about it.
Tell me.
Look, it could be a massive failure, but we're going to give it a red hot go anyway. Basically, it's, you know, it's Who Am I from, you remember, Sail of the Century?
Oh, yeah.
Who Am I? I was born in bloody... It's that, but a car.
That's a really good idea.
Hey, I'm full of something, and sometimes it's good ideas. Mostly not, but sometimes it is. But I thought I'd give it a go. So if you think you know what I'm talking about, I'm going to give a few clues now. We'll come back later. We'll give some more clues then. And by the end of the show, you, dear listener, could be a winner. What will you win? You will win the respect of Mike and I in knowing what car that is.
That's the worst prize I've ever heard.
It's pretty bad. We might try and organise a prize at some point. But Mike, now you're not allowed to shout out the answer even if you know.
Really?
Yeah. Until the end, then maybe we'll let you do a small shout.
Challenge accepted.
I know. All right. So here it is. What car am I? I am a compact car first sold in Australia from 1975. I was built in Australia by a major manufacturer that is often seen as Australian, but actually isn't. That's narrowing down a little bit. I was originally sold as a four-door sedan in S and SL models and a two-door SL coupe. And I was Wheels Car of the Year in 1975. Now, no one's allowed to go and Google that, okay? You've got to do it on your own merit. Now, we'll be back a little bit later with some more clues. What car am I talking about? And I'll be very excited to hear what you think. I'm also really excited, though, Mike, to be talking about the Germans.
Chaser.
Correct. Is that as far as your German goes?
Nine. That's probably
That's it.
So I double what you thought I had.
Look, no, you gave it a red hot go.
We all know that German cars are pretty much a byword for if you want something a bit specky, a bit higher end, well made, with all the latest and greatest in engineering. That's kind of what the Germans do. The interesting thing about it is BMW and Mercedes used to be the two, the big two. But recent years we've seen Audi grow and grow and grow and grow. And now in Australia, if you take away Mercedes van range, they're almost on a par, which is a very interesting development.
Yeah, and that's a massive jump. I remember in the 90s, I was a big Audi fan in the kind of late 80s, early 90s, because they were then really the underdog. And I thought their design was fantastic. I really liked them. But they're no longer the underdog anymore.
No, and I've got a problem with Audi. I think all their cars look a bit like babushka dolls. They're all very interchangeable. They all fit within one another. An A4 looks like an A6, looks like an A8. Mm. Bang, bang, bang. You know what I mean?
Yep. And it's the same with the SUV, the series of SUVs.
They've just launched the Q3, their little tiny SUV, and they've got their Q5 and their Q7.
Yeah, it's the same concept.
It really is. But, I mean, Audi, just to show how serious they're getting, they actually bought a very, very famous motorbike brand during the week. They signed off on a deal to buy Ducati.
That's massive. Who knew that they were looking to sell?
Well, this is true.
Yeah.
But so obviously Volkswagen own Audi. Now Audi own Lamborghini and Ducati.
So who else is in the Volkswagen group? So it's Volkswagen, Audi,
Bentley, Seat, Skoda.
That's right.
But the interesting thing for this is we look at what Audi's done with Lamborghini. And, aside from, I was going to say they haven't ruined Lamborghini, but now they've launched a four-wheel drive, so I'm starting to have second thoughts. But I suspect they're going to do something very similar with Ducati.
Right.
I just hope they keep that kind of Italian-ness. I'm not a big bike guy, but even I know what Ducati's all about. You know, it's the Ferrari of motorbikes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now it's been taken over by Audi, which is a little bit strange.
It is a bit bizarre. Now, their growth, they've had a strategy for a while now. I think it's something to do with 2015, to get to 2015.
And dominate. World domination.
Yeah, and it's at this stage, they're more than on track to do that, would you say?
Yeah, but I mean, of course, their rivals, Mercedes and BMW, aren't sitting still. And the one I really would be looking out for is Mercedes. They've got this massive strategy. They've got this whole new platform. They're going to base five cars off it, and they're all going to be really, really cheap entry-level cars. And they released one during the week in Beijing. They're calling it the Concept Style Coupe.
Oh.
It's a really sleek little four-door sedan, but kind of coupe-like in that it's got a really low, sharply raked windscreen. This is actually going to come to Australia. It's going to be called a CLA, and it's going to be priced from under 50 grand.
And I must say, that might be another thing we pop up, because that is, I tell you what, it's a bloody sexy-looking car.
It's quite funny, because by, I would say, 2014, 2015, there's going to be at least three, maybe four Mercedes models selling here for under 50 grand. You're going to have the A-Class, the B-Class, the CLA, and they're going to have a tiny four-wheel drive as well.
Yep.
So you're seeing these brands now going away from what they've traditionally done, and they're starting to dominate in the small end of the spectrum too.
It's interesting that you've driven the B-Class.
Yes, I have.
Now, that that design is very similar to the one it replaces, am I right?
Looks kind of the same, a bit more interesting, but it's fundamentally the same kind of car, sure.
Which is interesting, though, because everything else they've done has had that really kind of aggressive, pointy nose that I think started on the SLS or whatever it was, and I think it's a beautiful... I think Mercedes at the moment are just doing some stunning-looking cars.
They really went off the rails for a while, yeah. But they're definitely back in a big way.
Yeah, it's bananas. But the B-Class, it's kind of... I don't know, I saw that as a missed opportunity, but you think it's an all right kind of car.
Well, it's designed to be a little family sort of hatchback, isn't it? It's not really designed to be sexy. That's what the A-Class is going to be all about. The B-Class is just kind of, you know, if you've got a family, you want to cart some stuff around, $38,000. And this is a development that I'm really welcoming, because what's going to happen is you're going to have these brands, Audi, Mercedes and BMW, price their cars in the high 30s, so you're going to force the Japanese and the Koreans to rethink their position.
Yeah.
And that's going to work out well for us. They're either going to make better cars or cheaper cars, one of the two, probably both.
It's interesting, though, because will that force other, like, you know, your Volkswagen Golf, I guess, is, I don't really think it's seen as a premium, well, it's kind of a premium small car, but the cost of that, that'll be interesting to see what happens with that with all this other competition now.
Well, they're going to have to do something about that, you know. Yeah. For so long, they've coasted on the Europeanness, and they've been able to charge a certain amount, but even they've gotten cheaper recently.
Yeah.
And it's all because of the dollar, you know, especially. But, I mean, I really welcome this development with the German companies. And it's going to be fascinating to see whether Audi can continue this growth like they have been, or whether Mercedes strategy is going to work, and BMW are doing a whole bunch of things as well.
And so BMW in Australia is number one...
Passenger-wise, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. And they've obviously just had the new 3 Series come out, which I think looks fantastic. And their 1 Series is reasonably new, which is controversially styled.
Fender Bender, ugliest car of the year 2011.
It's true.
Let's not forget about that.
It's true. So what do you, I mean, down the track more than 5 years from now, say 2020, what do you think the market's going to look like then with these particular...
These brands, they're legendary for basically watching each other more closely than they'd watch other rivals. They follow each other's footsteps. You know, one releases something and they all follow suit. Mercedes has set the agenda now with all these really entry-level cars coming in but remaining sexy and interesting. Audi and BMW are going to follow suit. BMW is going to launch a new sub-brand called i. Don't know what Apple has to say about that.
Yes.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
And you're going to see Mercedes and Audi copy that as well. They're all going to follow each other and they're all going to grow together.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned, we talked about Apple and we have talked about that before, but it's funny because with Audi, I see Audi as the Apple of cars.
The former underdog, and
all of their packaging is really schmick and graphic designers buy them.
Touche.
You know, it's good that call. Kind of, don't you think it's
I like,
really...
I like a sweeping judgment on someone's character traits. It's my favourite thing to do.
Absolutely. I mean, I live in North Fitzroy. There are a lot of Audis around there. But it's, I don't know, it just seems to be, it has, I don't know, it has that kind of Apple-y
kind
of
I see where you're
feel.
Coming from. It does. And it no longer has that underdog status. And that's a big deal. You know, a company loses that and then that's a big thing gone.
It's interesting now because I guess Mercedes is kind of, well, probably not for much longer, but the underdog. Who would have thought that would have ever happened?
Who could ever, you know, it's a bit of an incongruous thing to say, really, isn't it?
And do you think, other Europeans, you know, the French, the Italians and others, are they ever going to get to that level?
Well, this is interesting because Fiat is they've bought Chrysler recently. Oh, and that Fiat obviously own Ferrari, they own Alfa Romeo. They're making a huge push as well. And you're going to see them starting to try and muscle in on this territory.
Yeah.
And especially in markets like this where people like a European branded car, they like a French car, Italian car, a German car. It's a bit out of the, you know, it's a bit out of the ordinary. It's a bit different. The Germans are still way out ahead.
Yeah, right.
But, I mean, in terms of, you know, these Italian and French companies are definitely improving a million miles. We saw some stuff come out from Peugeot during the week as well. They've got their new 208 coming. They've got the new 3008 coming. So the French are really lifting their game as well. It seems to be they all try and follow each other. And the result is we come out the winner.
That's true. Look, it's a point of difference for the other Europeans as well. But more on that later. We'll be discussing the new 208 a little bit later on in the show. You are listening to Fender Bender.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. We're here to talk with you about cars because that's what we love. Now, Mike, we've just been talking about the Germans and then we had a chat about other European models. And, of course, you mentioned the Peugeot.
We did.
Peugeot have released their new... have they released it or they
no,
unveiled?
They've sent a bunch of Aussie journos, including one of my colleagues, over to Paris to drive the new 208, which is their, you might know, the 207. It's a little compact car. The 208 is going to be here in October. It's just had its launch in Europe. And we're talking about large European manufacturers lifting their game in the lower end of their model range. Well, this is, you know, this is a textbook case. This is a car that is about as far removed from its predecessor as you can possibly get.
It looks, I must say, because I loved Peugeots of maybe 8 years ago. And then they became very samey, I thought, the smaller ones in the last few years.
The problem with Peugeots is they had these massive noses, these massive grills, and they said it was pedestrian safety. I think it was probably pedestrian safe because a person would see it and run screaming in the other direction because it's so hideous to look at.
Wow.
But thankfully, Pug has gone away from this.
Yep.
And you know what I love about the new 208 is it's lighter than its predecessor. Since when is a new car launched that's smaller and lighter than the model that preceded it? It never happens anymore because each generation gets more technology, it gets more safety, it gets bigger. They've said, no, we're going to make it smaller. We're going to make it lighter.
I think that's good.
It's brilliant. And it's just the most sensational-looking little car. The interior looks like it's fantastically well-built. It's got innovative little engines. It's going to come here and it's going to be $20,000-ish.
So that's a little bit higher than like your Fiestas and that kind of thing.
It's going to be more of a Volkswagen Polo rival.
Right.
So you're going to be looking in the upper end of the mini car segment.
Yep.
But, I mean, right now Peugeot is you know, they've got that kind of très chic French outsiderness. But this is just a genuinely awesome car, full stop. You know, and the initial reports coming out are verifying that. It's as good as it looks.
And 20 grand for a brand new Peugeot, I think that's pretty good.
Hey, absolutely.
They've got fans out there.
They've
got fans indeed. Now, some other new cars. We've seen something during the week as well from Italian maker Fiat.
Are we allowed to say this on the radio?
I don't know. It's kind of porny.
Just make sure you say it right.
Okay, so this is Fiat's new small car has been unveiled, and it's called the Fiat Viaggio. Is that right?
You said that very well.
Did I?
I've heard it said worse.
Thank you. My boyfriend's Italian. I'm assuming that's how that happened. It's a Viaggio. Now, we've, during the week, been having a few giggles about that because it sounds a little saucy.
It does.
Let's be honest.
They are Italian.
Sounds like lady parts. That's all.
Well said.
Thank you. I don't know if I can say that word. I'm sure we can.
Maybe
it's Joy.
I think Silvio Berlusconi might have some kind of part share in Fiat. He might have pushed it.
Oh, God, that's going to be really gross. And no, I won't. So the
Viaggio, that's what Jeremy's for. He's not here this
week. True.
So what's become of us?
It's true. So the Viaggio is part of the new Chrysler Fiat group. And
yes,
based
very odd bedfellows. It's a bit like Renault and Nissan teaming up, Chrysler and Fiat.
I think
the
this
Yanks
is weirder than
and the
Renault
Italians and teaming up. It's a bit weird. Why this is interesting to us is the Fiat Viaggio is a Chinese-made small car. It's the size of a Holden Cruise. But why it's interesting to us is it's based on a Dodge Dart, which is Chrysler's version of the same car, which has just been released and is very, very unlikely to come here because it's left-hand drive only.
Yep.
But the Fiat Viaggio, while not confirmed, is a very good shot at being a right-hand drive car.
Right.
Meaning it could come to Australia. And I speculate that it will come to Australia as a Fiat. And this is going to be, if it does come here, a bit like a Cruze, a bit like a Mazda 3, one of these cars, but it's going to have a Fiat badge, which is something that hasn't really been a big deal in Australia up till now. Fiat's very much a niche brand.
Yeah.
But what's going to change is Fiat are now distributed by the Chrysler brand in Australia. They're no longer imported by a private company like they have been.
Okay.
And Chrysler has said they're going to really emphasize Fiat. They're going to try and grow it here. They're going to spend a lot of money on doing so.
Yep.
So there's another example. A European car, an Italian car in the low end of the market with trying to grow itself by releasing interesting cars like this.
And I think Fiat, it's interesting because they came back to Australia a few years ago. They didn't really take off with the, I think it was the Punto?
The Punto and the Ritmo and the Scudo.
Terrible names.
Yeah, and they were manual only. They couldn't get much supply. But now Chrysler is going to import them. Chrysler has a lot of muscle. You know, they can really get things done. And I suspect that's what's going to happen. They're going to have the Viaggio. They're going to keep bringing that little 500, that cute little tiny car of theirs.
Yeah.
And there'll be more to come after that. And I'm really, really excited to see. And I hope they keep the Viaggio name as well.
Yeah.
It'll be ballsy,
that's
but I hope
be
they
awesome.
Do it.
Well, it's interesting with Fiat because that 500 is a real little hero car for them because it's very Italian and it's very quirky.
Got.
And there's a lot of them around North Carlton. I tell you what.
I
followed
the
one into town.
Convertible ones as
yes.
well?
Wow. Now, speaking of convertibles, we're going to have a bit of a song shortly, but we'll be back and having a chat with you about a sexy little number that might end up in our gayest car of the year tests, I believe.
Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree? I travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something.
Bit of Eurythmics there, guys. Bit of Sweet Dreams. You a fan?
I am. Yeah. Who's not a fan of the Eurythmics? Come on.
That is a very good point. That'd be ridiculous. That'd be insane.
You didn't pin me for a Eurythmics fan, did you?
I did not.
So you're learning things about me.
It's true. Every day, you know, the intimate confines of this studio.
Wow.
Things come out, guys. Things come out. You are listening to Fender Bender. It's Joy 94.9. And we are talking about a lot of things today, but one of them is the new game, What Car Am I? Now, yeah, exactly. I need a drum. I've got a drum roll somewhere. I need to find it. Now, I've been talking about a particular car. It's a compact car, first sold in Australia from 75, built in Australia. Was Wheels Car of the Year 1975. Some more clues. The second generation came out in 79 and had a complete change of design, with some saying it looked like its big brother. 1.6-litre petrol, 1.8-litre diesel. The final iteration only lasted from 85 to 86 after being replaced by a whole new model. I was renowned for my pert yet cute bum in this final iteration, but I wasn't very practical. Enthusiasts don't care for this final generation. I have a rabid following with many car clubs dedicated to me in Australia. What car am I? Mike, I reckon you think you might know this.
Oh, I know it.
You know it.
Absolutely.
You know it. We've got a couple of people who have texted in already, which is exciting. So we'll see who's going to be the winner. Woohoo! And that'll be coming up a little bit later in the show. You are listening to Fender Bender.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
That's right. You're listening to Fender Bender, and we have been talking about lots of car-y type things because that's what we do. And Mike, you even drove one. A car, that is.
I know. It's an unusual thing for a motoring journalist to do. I don't do that often.
Weird.
It's a rarity.
It's a shock.
I've been driving, and as you said before, this could be a contender for our next round of Gayest Car Award.
Without question.
I think it's definitely a front runner. it is a Cabrio, and it is a German car.
Ooh.
We were talking about Germans. It seems appropriate. It's the new-ish Volkswagen Golf Cabriolet.
Ah, that is certainly up there in the homosexual stakes. I can absolutely confirm that.
Well, the interesting thing about the Golf Cabriolet is it kind of cuts into the Volkswagen range under the EOS, which has that cool folding metal roof. This does without that. It's just a traditional fabric folding roof. Mm. But, you know, on paper, I was pretty excited to pick this car up because the Golf hatchback is a brilliant little car.
Yeah.
It's about as good as it gets for a small, cheap hatchback. Mm. And the Cabrio is that car, essentially, with its roof chopped off.
Right.
And I'm pleased to say they've done a fantastic job of it, at least with the early impressions. Okay. The roof folds in about 10 seconds. 10 or 15 seconds, it's completely folded away. There's heaps of boot space. The car is rigid, hasn't lost any of that rigidity that often roofless cars do, but it keeps all of the good things about a Golf.
Mm-hmm.
So it rides well. It's got the little 118 litre or the little 118 turbocharged four-cylinder engine, which goes like the crackers. It's got the same DSG gearbox as the Golf, which is, well, not the greatest gearbox, nor
it has. You don't love it?
Well, around town, it's a bit fussy. It's a bit indecisive. It catches. Mm. It's a bit jittery at low speeds. That's just a Volkswagen thing, and they all do it.
Yep.
But, you know, I've sort of only lived with this car for a couple of days now. But as far as it goes, I mean, I had four people in it with gear in the back.
Mm.
Not every convertible can do that. And it's priced from under 40 grand.
That's pretty good.
Which is about as cheap as it gets for a convertible in Australia. It's almost the cheapest on the market.
That's a good point. Well, but have they made it like slightly more sporty than their normal Golf, or is it pretty much the same engine that you were saying before?
It's pretty much, it is essentially a Golf without a roof.
Okay.
And nothing else has really changed from the car. It's got the same powertrain. But what it really opens up is it's very, very conceptually similar to the Audi A3 Cabriolet.
Because, which is quite good as well.
Well, Volkswagen, of course, owns Audi, all the same company. This is a lot cheaper, though.
Uh-huh.
And it's fundamentally the exact same car.
Right.
Slightly less luxurious. Mm. But everything else, it even basically looks the same. In fact, to me, it looks a little better.
Mm.
And I think what this really opens up is, you know, Audi A3 convertible, Volkswagen Golf convertible, are they cutting their own company's grass?
But I think that the A3 is a bit more seen as a bit more of a premium kind of model, and I think people with a bit more money are absolutely going to be looking at the A3 as opposed to the Golf, because the Golf is less of a premium model than it used to be.
For sure. And what it also does is it makes you really question why you'd ever buy the EOS. The bigger Volkswagen.
I was going to ask about that. So how's that going, I wonder, with like sales? It'd be interesting to see how
Well, the Golf
that.
Cabriolet is certainly having an impact.
Yeah.
I mean, people look at the EOS, they like the folding metal roof, which I admit is pretty awesome. It's like an entire sideshow.
Mm.
But aside from that, the Golf does everything at least as well as the EOS, if not better, because it's based on a newer car.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not a big convertible kind of guy. I feel like stupid driving around with the top down. I really do. But, you know, the good thing about the Golf I've found in my brief time with it so far is it's very practical. I mean, I had lots of big bags in the back. Most convertibles can't do that. I had four people in there comfortably. Most convertibles can't do that. And you know, it just seems to me to almost be a good compromise. So it's not, you're not limiting yourself in any way. You're still practical, but you get that fun element too.
That's true. And you're not spending a crazy amount of money to do that.
Exactly right. And if I had to buy a convertible, if I absolutely was forced to buy a convertible, I would certainly look at it if I was in that end of the segment. Yeah.
Now, Mike, you're tall.
Correct.
How tall are you?
6'5".
6'5"? That is stupid.
It's retarded. I'm pretty much a circus performer. Circus freak.
So does your head kind of go above the windscreen in these cars?
Well, this is a bit of a weak spot with a Cabrio.
Right.
It doesn't go... I must admit, I was a bit of a narcissist because I was driving along Hampton Road and I looked at myself in the shop windows as I was driving past to see how stupid I looked in this car.
I see.
And my head was basically at roof level.
Wow.
It's a bit absurd. It looks like a bit of a toy when I'm driving it. Yep. But it is a concern because the top of the windscreen pillar kind of doesn't pay with my vision.
I see.
But, you know, I don't like to judge a car on me because most people probably don't have those kind of problems with a car.
I think the most men that would buy a convertible would be short men. I can't believe I'm saying that. I have no
And the other thing is, I have a full head of hair, so why would I buy a convertible?
That's true.
You have to be bald to have a convertible, or at least balding. We all know this.
Or going through some kind of midlife crisis.
Exactly.
Which
and I'm far too young for that.
Exactly. Now, it's funny we're talking about this, though, because I was at uni the other day and I had to stop and look around. I thought I knew, you know, new cars coming out and that kind of thing, and I saw something and I was like, wow, what is that? And then I had a quick look and it was the new... Is it Megane convertible?
The Renault Megane.
The new one?
Yeah.
I'd never seen one before. And
they don't sell very well.
I had no idea what it was.
They're a slow selling car.
That's all right.
Yeah, with the top down.
I think it had its top up.
See, the problem, and this is it's one of those metal folding roof cars. The big problem with those is because the metal's so chunky and it takes up so much space, you've got no boot, and also it means that the proportions are a little bit out. And a lot of the Peugeots have the same problem.
Right.
The top's up, really big ass. Which isn't ideal for a convertible. They're supposed to be pert and they're supposed to be well-styled. And this is why the soft-top Golf Cabrio retains that kind of Golf shape.
Okay. Yeah.
But, hey, I mean, the Megane does have something the Germans don't, which is Frenchness.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Interesting outsider kind of Gallic charm, which really goes with the whole notion of putting your top down anyway, doesn't it?
That's true. We all like to put our top down, let's be honest. Now, Ford and Holden used to have like a Focus and an Astra. Obviously, the Astra's no longer with us, but will be coming back under Opel. But there's nothing else at that kind of cheaper end of the Cabrio market anymore, is there, with the lack of Focus and an Astra around?
I mean, you know, like you said, there is the Megane, there is the Peugeot 308. I mean, there are bits and pieces floating around. The Golf is the most mainstream one of the lot, no doubt about it. But, you know, it is a genuinely a European segment. They're the ones that tend to do these sorts of cars.
The Euros. Well, good for them, good for them. So you're giving it a bit of a thumbs up.
I am. I mean, I personally wouldn't buy a convertible, but if I had to...
You'd give it a red
give
hot
it
go.
A look. Give
Excellent.
It a look.
Good for you. Good for you. Now we are coming up to 3 o'clock, not far away from. So I've got a few more clues very shortly to give away about what our mystery car might be. You're listening to Fender Bender.
You burn up all your credit. All the family of kids who pop your pills and smoke your
You are listening to Fender Bender, Joy 94.9, coming up to the end of the show. Now, we have been playing a bit of a game with you, dear listeners, today, which is, what car am I? I've given away a few clues. The big one was probably I was Wheels Car of the Year for 1975. We're going to finish it up, though, Mike, and I reckon you're going to announce it. But a couple more clues just to get it over and done with. There are still many examples of me on the roads, apart from the last generation, albeit very hotted up ones, often with loud colours. I may or may not be at home on Chapel Street.
Fully sick.
Do you know what I mean? I was derived from Japanese maker Isuzu. I'm named after a star sign. Mike, I am...
Could you be any more obvious,
Tim? I know.
I am the Holden Gemini.
Woo! Now, we've had quite a few people text in with that response, which
car
is exciting.
Experts,
I tell you what. So, now, obviously, we don't have a prize to give away today, but
it's... Because we're the worst radio type people ever.
It's true.
Congratulations to Aaron, to Sandra, and to a mystery
anonymous
person.
Exactly.
All guessed correctly, all car experts, all we're humbled in your presence.
It's very true, and Aaron has texted in, I believe, the ad with the You and I and Gemini ad campaign from back in the day. So thank you very much. I'm glad you enjoyed that. They were a cool car.
Were they? Really?
Not a fan?
Were they really?
I liked them.
Really?
And you know what? That last generation with the weird cute bum, I loved it.
Well, you just... Why am I even slightly surprised?
It's not really that shocking, is it? No, that's not. Look, you're listening to Fender Bender. We are about to wind up after these messages.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Hey, Mike.
What?
Thanks for being here today.
Oh, yeah, cool. No worries. Always.
Anytime. This has been Fender Bender. We've very much enjoyed your company. Thank you to everyone who has texted in and communicated with us. We will be back next week at the same time, of course. Go and like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And big thanks to Heath on the phones as well. This is Tim Nicholson and Mike signing off. See you next week, guys.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.